Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Thursday. I can't believe how fast the week is going by. It's happening again. Everything's just very, very fast. But today is, it's already this fast. It's like August 17th, 17. Another crazy day. It's like August does that a lot. So here we are, and it's Dream Theme Thursday. And I had somebody ask me, and it was a kid. And they asked me, well, why do we dream? And I thought, God, that's a good question. We just, like, talk regularly just about everything. But we never really discuss, like, hey, you know, why you dream? Because they wake up and they don't want their dreams to stop and they want to be in them. And, you know, usually we'll address that issue with any child when we're thinking that maybe the child is hurt or something is wrong, like a nightmare or something, and they wake up and they're scared. But, like, kids, this is because of my last week at Yosemite and being with younger kids, but, you know, why did we even dream in the first place? Like, God, I had this dream, and I was flying, and I thought, oh, I have somebody, I that gives us their dreams a lot, and they fly a lot in their dreams, but that's the ultimate freedom and the ultimate soaring of dreaming. And so just to answer the question, why we dream? And so I didn't know how to, like, tell them the whole thing. Like, okay, you go back home and, you know, this is where, like, you really have your capability and it's a way of giving you answers to things that are going on in your life. And sometimes, you know, those answers aren't easy to, you know, figure out. But it gives you that energy to think, wow, everything is possible. Anything is possible. And they're like, oh, wow, you know, and I didn't say it like that, though. I just said, you know, that that's God's way of giving you, like, television while you're asleep. And every time you sleep and you remember a dream, it teaches you a lesson. And it tells you a lesson. And they're like, what lesson? Like, why do I need a lesson? And I said, well, when your life gets a little busier, now your lessons are different. You're thinking of flying. You're thinking of, like, you made something that was big and nobody had ever seen it before. And I said, when you see stuff like that that you've never seen before, it lets you know what's possible. It expands your mind and it stretches your mind and it makes your mind bigger and fuller and it fills it with more ideas. And I really had to start thinking how cool it is that we dream. Imagine we just go to sleep and we don't dream and we wake up and, like, we just don't know any better. How boring would that be? But the fact that we dream, and sometimes the dreams are so crazy and we don't even know what they mean, but we try to figure it out, but we don't forget some of them. We don't forget some of them. Because I have this woman who now for 11 years has been having these same dreams about the same person. And I talked about her before. And it's interesting because over time, she finally got to know this person, this man that she'd been having these dreams about. And they were never big dreams. They were just them doing regular things, like just plain regular things. Like they got in a, what is that? What did she tell me? It was a fender bender. A fender bender at a red light, you know, where she, you know, they just got hit from the back and they came down and they were discussing it with the people. And she had all these details, driving on the countryside and just seeing the rolling hills and the grass on them was green and, you know, remembering music in the car and no top on the car and just enjoying that freedom. And she would have dreams of them. The coolest one, you know, was they were, they met at a barbecue, and everybody was dressed in barbecue clothes. And she was there in a dress, but everybody else had, like, shorts and T-shirts and flip-flops on. And then the man that she keeps having these dreams about, that she's friends with, but she keeps having these dreams, was he came by, and he was wearing a suit. And they both were talking, and they were walking, and then they got near the pool, and they held hands, and they jumped in the pool with all their dressy clothes on. And they just laughed their heads off that they even did that. And they were just having fun all the time. But it wasn't the kind of fun that you have to plan to have fun. It was always just having fun, whether they were shopping, in a fender bender, at a barbecue, whatever it was, she was always seeing more to them. That was just simple everyday life, and she couldn't figure out why. And she would ask him, "Why do I keep dreaming about you?" And he said to her, "I don't know." He goes, I really don't have those dreams. I don't really remember my dreams." And she said, "Well, you don't have to have the dreams because you're in my dreams. I'm having your dreams." And he goes, "Well, how do you know they're my dreams? They're your dreams." She said, "But you're the one that's always in them. It's not like anybody else is in them." And she couldn't figure out why. Well, I never went back to what actually happened in real life to these people. But he got into a situation where he had some time in his own life, and they got to know each other a lot better. And then she started getting shy about them knowing each other because she realized why everything that was happening was happening. She got it, hook, line, and sinker. She got it, but she couldn't talk about it. And it was like these dreams started melting into real life. And they're in the thick of it now of starting to see what's there because it's so obvious that they're scared to see it. And yet, in both of their lives, they're in situations that were real easy to have relationships with or marriage or whatever is going on. It's almost like a separate reality. It had been a separate reality for so long that she was very comfortable with the separate reality. But that separate reality now is merging. So her dreams have been preparing her for this time because the work there, these two human beings are going to do is yet to come. It hasn't happened yet. It's like the last hurrah in both of their lives. And they're both at that age where retirement is around the corner. They're both very beautiful people that know many people. And what's happening is that their lives, the merging of their lives is going to create an entire pocket of work to be done. And it's already starting to happen. And it's so beautiful to watch it unfold. And I think the most beautiful part about it is the connection to her dreams. Because those dreams, like she would forget during the daytime. Sometimes when she'd see him, she'd forget that she dreamed about him that night. But then another day or another time, she'd say, "Hey, it happened again. It happened again." And the last dream she told him about, she told him, "You came to get me." And he said, "What?" She said, "You came to get me." And that's where we're at right now. So I'll keep you guys posted on this continuous dream. She's the longest dream sequence of anyone I've known personally to tell me these stories of any dreams that I've had till now. It's amazing to hear this story and to see it unfold and how privileged I feel to just be a part of this happening. It's so cool. So that's the whole thing about dreaming, but it's such a special part of us. So if you are somebody who says you don't remember your dreams, and I know this is going to sound like a weird thing to say, but a lot of times we sleep and we sleep deeply, but usually when we're on our way to that deep sleep, we're going to get caught in that pocket. But sometimes some of us don't get that deep in sleep. We sleep way too late, like we're way too tired. and then we wake up and we're still tired, those are usually the times we're not going to remember our dreams, because we go down so hard and then we wake up and we're not ready to wake up yet. So we kind of miss that pocket. But, you know, if you feel like you're not remembering your dreams, don't exhaust yourself before you sleep. Go to sleep at a time. I know you might lose a half hour or an hour in the day, but you see, the stuff we do that late at night isn't stuff that we have to do. We just kind of wear ourselves out to go to sleep. But it's so interesting to me to see people who tell me that they don't dream, and then I start telling them, well, you know, change the way you sleep for a while. You'll see what happens. And that it does, where they start saying, gosh, I keep dreaming that, you know, I'm having lunch with Howard Stern, or I keep doing this, or I'm having lunch meeting these people I listen to all day, either on the radio or something like that. And I thought, this is probably the only people you see that you feel like you're having a conversation with, even though they're on a radio. So it's interesting, but, you know, put yourself down before you're completely out of it, to where you're yawning for, you know, an hour to 45 minutes before you actually go to sleep. Just see what happens, because when you go to sleep at that time is when your body is telling you to sleep. If you wait, what happens is you pass, in Arabic, it's like you pass this golden moment. It's like your sleep flew away, and all of a sudden you're awake again when you pass that time. You get a second wind. That's what they say in English. You get a second wind. And then you end up staying up even later because you're not sleepy anymore, or you can't fall asleep because you missed that time. And we all know when it hits, because we just know we're getting tired. So take advantage of yourself at that time and see what happens. So I have this dream from, let me see, I just got to make sure they're not asking me. Okay, good. They're not asking me to keep it personal or anonymous. But Dream Team Thursday. Hi, Nadia. I hope you enjoyed Yosemite. I loved it. I had a dream about you last night. Oh, wow. I was visiting in California, and he asked me how I was, and I just sat down and put my head into my hands, and I said, oh, my brain is getting rewired. It's exhausting. Then you turned around cheerfully and said, oh, that is normal. You will be okay. We were in your apartment, and you were wearing my clothes. So I asked you, how are you, Nadia? And you said, I am good. Just my knee is a little tweaked. Had to go to the hospital and had it tested again. But last time, it was okay. Then you showed me some cold computing tool device that you used to get your finances and taxes in order. Oh, cool, I think it was. And I asked you to teach me, and you did. So I took that knowledge with me. It is a tool not sold anymore. And then I woke up. I felt so great and empowered all the time, and I woke up in the best spirit, smiling. Love, Susan. That's actually an interesting dream, because when you said just my knee is a little tweaked, yesterday when we did the summit, we had it at a church called the Santa Anita Church. And the reverend at that church is Reverend Terry, and the manager of the church is Amalia. And Amalia and Reverend Terry, I had lunch with yesterday, and we have lunch once a week. And we always discuss, okay, what's going to go on Sunday? What are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? And we always have these talks, and we were talking about the International Day of Peace and all of that. So when I saw Amalia walking, I looked at Amalia's knee, and I'm like, what happened to your knee? And she tweaked her knee, and she's going to the doctor today. Because I was looking at her going, how could you wait since Sunday? She plays tennis, she teaches tennis, and she continued to play after she felt her knee snap. She doesn't know what happened to it. They took x-rays and they told her nothing's broken, but now you have to go in and do some other tests. So she's going today. So her knee is tweaked. Isn't that interesting? And it happened on Sunday, so I don't know when you had the dream. I can't see when you sent it because I copied it. So that's something that actually happened. And I am doing great, and I have been sitting at my desk for the past, unless I've been on a short break or vacation, probably since you know, right after the summit until now. And I'm working on all these things, and I can't get up. It's interfering, by the way, with my walking schedule, because there's mornings that I don't even go on my walk, because as soon as the show is done, I'm on the computer, and I'm figuring out all this stuff. I'm reading all these books. I'm listening to books when I do walk. I'm, like, just so focused, and I can't even help it. It's not easy for me to be that focused, because things just come through my mind really quickly normally, and I'm learning now all this stuff. So it's kind of interesting, the difference, but that feeling you felt of being empowered and great is how I feel. The more I read, the more I work, the more I work with people, the more I'm learning is how I feel. And every single day I sit at the desk, I am feeling more empowered than I did the day before. It's amazing. I haven't had like this kind of rush like the other day on, my God, when did I come back from Yosemite? So this was Tuesday morning. The day that, you know, was like the first day we were back. And I see, Susan, you're writing, wow, I am amazed. Yeah, I have to tell you, on Tuesday morning when we came back, I was still not home yet. And I felt that flutter feeling like Christ was coming, because I always can feel, like I know, it's a feeling of that I get in the upper part of my chest, like between my neck and the upper part of my chest. It's a small area right up on top. Feels like I'm flying, even though I'm standing. But it has that feeling like, you know, when the car goes down those humps and you feel that funny feeling in your stomach. It used to happen when the cars were bigger. I don't feel it that much in cars anymore. But when I was a kid, we used to get that feeling. And that feeling of your stomach feeling like it's flying is exactly how it feels when I see Christ, only it's up in the upper part of my chest. And I go, oh, wow, you're coming here? I'm not even home. Like, what are you doing? And all I knew was it was coming, whether I wanted it to come or not. And then I sat down, and I had to get a piece of paper and a pencil, and I filled like 8 pages of yellow pad in my handwriting. I couldn't even get to a computer. And so I was writing down just it coming through me. And while I was writing it, I go, oh, my God. And I'm still writing, and I'm going, wow. Wow, this is what comes next. Oh, my God. And as I'm writing, I could feel that feeling like well up, well up, well up. It was crazy. It was so strong. And then I go, oh, what am I going to do? Like I got this nervous energy, and I got up, and I just started walking around. It's like I had to catch my breath, even though I was just standing there. And then what happened was that feeling went away. And I go, where did you go now that you came? What just happened? Why didn't I feel that feeling? I'm still writing. My hand's still going. And Christ said, don't worry. You just got used to me. I'm still here. And I thought, well, why did I feel you come in? And he goes, well, you have to feel something. It's a shift of energy for me to be present. But that's it. You've accustomed to me. And I thought, okay, all right, I'm good. And I downloaded that whole thing. And it's like I wanted to find someone who could, like, take this information and run with it. And Christ said, you just grew from a me, and I'm working for God, and I'm doing this for God, to anyone who helps you is doing this for God too. You're just helping God. And from now on, when you need to ask for help, whether it's people's time, whether it's financing for, and now I'm going to do a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit limited LLC something, I can't remember the lawyer, but what they were telling me, but it's the best combination for what I'm doing. And that idea started from Eric, Eric told me, would you consider doing a not-for-profit? And I looked into it. And so every little bit of information helps me because I'm just by myself over here feeling this stuff and writing this stuff and talking about it. And yet I have everybody that listens. We've become a we. We are all just helping God because our world needs love. And I know that sounds so silly to say because it's been thrown around as a cliche and, oh, yeah, well, keep talking. But that feeling of empowerment you woke up with is the connection that people are going to have. And I know it for sure now because I wrote down and now I know how. Before I used to think, how? But now I know how. Now I know. I can't even say it because I would have to read it to you in the way it was written to me. But now I know how. And that feeling has not left me. I have been flying by the seat of my pants since that moment. I tried to describe how great it was to some of the people closest to me. And they're like, oh, yeah, and they just went on to another conversation. Didn't even get it yet. That's how ahead of us it is. And when I thought about how Christ said to me, love is so far ahead, that sometimes it looks like it's coming up from behind, I understand that fully now. And Susan writes in the chat, yes, I know what you mean. I get it every now and then, that feeling. And yay, amen. I have to tell you guys, every time I try to downplay or discount sometimes even how big some of the things that happen are, that Tuesday was, I knew it because I kept saying, this feels different now. This feels like when I was writing the books. But there's a different feeling. There's more of like action, like I want to say like a push behind it. And it's forcing me to involve people because I get comfortable in my little cocoon. I just love to write and I love to help and I love to do things. But then as I got out into the public and some people wanting things from me, I couldn't give them and I didn't know how to not give them what they wanted from me. I started to retreat. I started to pull back my physical presence because it was hard for me to not take care of everybody. Because that's what I naturally can't stop myself from doing. And it was like I had to move into this building, into this apartment that's it's two steps removed from the street. No one can just walk up to my front door. And I feel like I got put into this think tank. The dreams we have, and Susan just wrote this in the thing Tuesday way, the day of the dream. It was because it connected everything that happened at night in my mind, in my dreams. And it connected to everything I wished I could do in this world while I'm here to how to do that. And I could have never thought of it. I could have never realized, one, its simplicity. And then I did know that as simple as something is why and how other people can do it too. We don't need books of bylaws and books of rules. We need a few things that cover everything so that there isn't that, space of corruption to evolve out of it. Because what we have now are a bunch of hidden doors, hidden laws, hidden conversations, hidden this, hidden that, but anything we ever have to hide, the bigger question is why do we have to hide it? Because that's where we fail. That's where we fail. God was not kidding when he said there's no soul left behind. But I kept thinking, how do we do that? The world's running so fast, and there's like all these separate realities. There's this cloud over here of crazy politics, and there's this cloud over here of you know, crazy food, and there's this cloud over here of education that's not serving us as well as it can be for our children, and there's this cloud over here of children, and how do we join all that together to move as a force in life? But in Origins of Truth, Christ said the world isn't going to end through like an Armageddon-type destruction. It's going to mesh into home once the energy is pure enough to do so without any negative energies blocking the two, because that will mean we have evolved to where we needed to evolve. I know that's kind of anticlimactic. Everybody wants that big day of judgment, and everybody gets judged, and they're either going to go to a heaven or a hell, but that ended up not being the case. There's a lot of money to be made on great movies about the last day and a new world starting. It's like, you know, you see all this gray and black and bombs, and then it stops, and you see people walking on grass in front of a house again. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, that, well, now we're back to normal again. But our normal is to not have that dichotomy at home. And it's not a bad thing here. It's how we are going to evolve to take us back to that knowing. And that the way we get taken back to that knowing is through our dreams. Because everything is possible in our dreams. No matter how scary a dream is, and how much it puts you off, you're not going to die in your dream. Even if you die, you see yourself die. So that means you're not dead. But maybe it's releasing you from your body in your dream because you're watching it. So you can't be the one who died if you're watching yourself die. But that gives you one of the biggest clues to our actual existence. Not many people actually have dreams where they die. They might, maybe once in their lifetime, maybe. Maybe. It's usually a slim chance that you will actually die in your own dream. Because you're actually watching yourself die in your dream. So you're not dead. You didn't die in your dream, ultimately. So just knowing these things and knowing that, you know, in all this time since I've seen Christ, all this information is already available. But we didn't have the evolution yet to see it. It's like somebody telling someone in the 1800s, we're going to have cell phones with computers on them and we're going to get to shop on them. And they'll say, shop? Why do you need to shop? What do you need to buy? Because to them, food, they made their clothing, made their blankets. They might go and buy material in the country. It's amazing. So Susan writes, what did it mean that I had the feeling of my brain being rewired? It's like what happened to you is when you hit the million baby steps, when you hit that and you start all over again, that's where you're at. You feel like that hardest part of your transition, of you taking yourself out of where you were, where you needed to be, has happened. That's now old news. That's like, I used to work like this. I used to be married in this situation. I used to, but that person no longer exists. I'm now here. I have grown and I have earned this growth. And that's what happened, that million baby steps. Every change is a million baby steps. Those million baby steps take about 7 years from thought to fruition. It's amazing. You guys, thank you for being here and having this show today, because sometimes I also need to hear this with you, and that happens. I will see you tomorrow on Questions Friday. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.